we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mukbil Yabaro. I'll be filling in for Sonny Young for the next 2 weeks. Today will be filled with a lot of NBA action on the show, starting off with the show recap of last night's games and highlights, then jumping into the conversation with in-season tournament and basketball analyst Saeed Sharif. I ask him, who is the team to watch? At the end of the day, we're going to be talking about tons and tons of NBA action. We'll also have Harry Kane breaking another record. So let's just get right into December 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Starting off the show with a recap of some of last night's highlights. The LA Clippers are on an 8-game win streak. They beat the Indiana Pacers 151-127 with a team high of 35 points and 9 assists for James Harden. Kawhi Leonard added 28 points and Paul George had 27 points. This team is starting to quiet the naysayers. As well as in other action, the defending champions Denver Nuggets blew out the Dallas Mavericks 130-104 with 8 players in double digits. The Nuggets cruise to an easy win. The game of the night for most fans would have been the scorching hot Minnesota Timberwolves just edging out the Miami Heat 112-108. Anthony Edwards goes off for 32 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals and 2 blocks. He was really everywhere on the floor last night. The Timberwolves are at the top of the Western Conference with a record of 20 wins and 5 losses. Here is Tom Merriam from the Associated Press with more.
The Timberwolves have matched the Celtics for the best record in the NBA by beating the Heat 112-108. Minnesota trailed by 17 early in the second quarter, but then chipped away at the Miami lead, finally taking the lead for good on a pair of Anthony Edwards dunks with 3.5 minutes remaining. Edwards scored 10 of his game-high 32 points in the fourth quarter. Rudy Gobert pulled down 16 rebounds for the T-Wolves, who have won 9 of their last 10 games.
Still very early in the season, but we're having a lot of fun, and we still have a lot of room to grow, but we're starting to look like a pretty good team.
Tyler Hero, who missed the previous 18 games, led the Heat with 25 points. I'm Tom Merriam.
Staying with the NBA, I spoke with basketball analyst Saeed Sharif, who's worked with ESPN Sports News and the NBA's Washington Wizards. We discussed the NBA in-season tournament, potential MVP candidates, and teams to watch at this point of the season. Let's take a listen.
Let's jump right into it, bro. What are your thoughts on the NBA in-season tournament?
I can't lie. I was indifferent about it when it first started, just because, I mean, me and you both being like really big soccer fans, you feel me, and having, you know, different, you know, tournaments within a season. I feel like it's only good when it's like been a part of it, like been a part of a league or been a part of a professional sports league. But I feel like adding it, you know, what, 75 years into like a new professional NBA league, it's like I didn't understand it. One thing I do love about it is the competitive aspect when it comes to the group stage games. But overall, I would have to say I am truly not a fan, because a lot of NBA players even came out when it comes to like point differential in the group stage games. When it comes down to like who's moving on, who stays home, it takes away from like the true, you know, nature of the game. You know, like when the game is over, it's not people out here scoring, you know, 5 points, 2 layups, you know, 2-3 layups at the end of the games to like put their teams ahead. It's like, it's one of those respect rules, you know what I mean? It's unwritten rule. So I feel like that's, DeMar DeRozan's came out and spoke about it. Jason Tatum's come out and spoke about it. A lot of NBA players are not happy with that, in which I agree full-heartedly. So I would say it's pretty cool just to have it, but because there is the NBA Cup involved, the trophy, you know, pretty much history on the line, it's going to be damn near impossible for them to take it away, you know? So I feel like we just have to live with it. But to answer your question overall, yeah, I'm not a fan.
I hear you, bro. I think I was on that same side as well. I think for me, it was a difficult sell, you know, like you mentioned, having a game or something added to the game that has been this late. I definitely didn't think that it was going to work out. But I will say the one thing that I enjoyed about it is the level of competitiveness that it added to the regular season games. Do you think that is something that, at least for fan perspective, a lot of fans tend to say that unless it's two big name teams playing against each other, it's like they're not that fun to watch regular season games. So do you think, at least from a perspective of like the games being more competitive, that it added a little bit of a dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can argue that. Also, you can argue the money on the line being involved with $500,000 going to the winning teams. But also, I feel like this year they included, you know, NBA players having to play a minimum of 65 games to be, you know, considered for like all NBA teams and also awards. So I feel like that alone was going to create more competitive games because you have more superstars playing, not because they want to play, because they have to play. You know what I mean? It's a big difference. So in a sense, of course, you're right. That is, you know, the minimum. But also I feel like truly, I agree, but I just feel like there's so many other ways you can make teams play competitively without having to include a whole another like tournament within the tournament. You know what I mean? But like you said, it does create excitement for November, December, you know, leading up to All-Star break and then, you know, playoff start right after. So it creates some type of buzz, which is great for the league also. But at the same time, it's like, if we're being 100% real, it's all about a power.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, sometimes it's fun when both, you know, both your interests can end up getting you in the same place. So it's like, yeah, we are making money, but at the same time, it's something that the fans are enjoying. Even, you know, the little touch with the hardwood floors being a little different. It's cool. It's not great, but it was cool to see. I know you were also at that Lakers versus the Suns quarterfinals in LA. If you'd have to say, what was the energy like? Obviously, this was KD versus LeBron, but outside of that, what was the energy like for that specific knockout game? If you were to compare it, was it like a playoff atmosphere, or was it like March Madness? If you would have to choose one or the other,
I'd probably lean towards playoff game. I mean, covering the game was amazing. Like you said, the new floors do add a touch to the game. One thing though, I hate the jerseys. Like, I'm not a fan of like a lot of the Nike alternate jerseys. I feel like they're very lazy and like not well thought of, which is crazy for like just a proactive brand like Nike. You would think, you know, these guys have it, but you know, I guess they don't. But I will say, playoff game atmosphere was through the roof. One great thing about, you know, just covering the Lakers in this young season so far is when a great team comes into Staples Center or Crypto Arena, as we call it now, atmosphere is already on 10, no matter what. You know what I mean? It's just that type of feel. But I will say, because it's a KD LeBron moment and because it is a win or you're out type of game, I would say the atmosphere was intense. It was better than I would have predicted. It's funny too, because being out here in Los Angeles, like seeing these Laker games, like you would see like 5 minutes before tip off, barely anybody's in their seat. The second the ball is up, it's like everybody magically appeared. You know, it's pretty cool seeing that. But I would say, yeah, I'd definitely lean towards playoff game, but I could see why people would say March Madness. One thing I'd say also is like, I'd rather have a bigger bracket in future, you know what I'm saying, tournaments, if they're going to do it, because I know a lot of teams that were deserving to be in it. The Sixers were deserving to be in it. They missed out. I believe the Cleveland Cavaliers missed out. So I compare it pretty much to the college football playoff, where, you know, this year it's been four, and the last couple handful of years since the start it's been four, but next year they're moving to 12, you know, with the first four teams getting byes. So I feel like in future years, like probably Adam Silver and a lot of, you know, just higher personnel are going to sit down and like include that. But I think that if they do that, possibly, I feel like, again, it's more money, but I feel like that would get more fans involved too.
I like that. I like that, man. I think for a lot of fans, man, across the board, that really didn't know what to expect with this first go around. I think, like you mentioned at the top, you know, soccer fans across the board mainly understood where they were going with it. But honestly, I think for a first year, I think it's not too bad. I think it also helps elevate a lot of other teams that maybe aren't doing great, but they have that potential. you know, Exhibit A, the Indiana Pacers. So if we talk about the Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton and his Pacers making it all the way to the finals to become the runners-up of the very first NBA in-season tournament. What are your thoughts on them?
I'll tell you this about Tyrese Haliburton. So I am, on the record, a Kansas Jayhawks fan. Tyrese went to Iowa State, you know, a lot of Big 12 matchups within a few years. Coming out of the draft, when going to Sacramento, I didn't think he would fit there because of, you know, the heavy guard play and, of course, being paired up with De'Aaron Fox. The second he got traded, though, I'm like, okay, this can be something. And it's funny because last year, because the year he got traded, he played for, you know, the rest of the half of the season. And last year was his true first year in Indiana. I remember going to a Wizards game and seeing them. And I was getting a lot of flack from friends saying, why are you going to a Pacers game? But I knew this kid was like, I felt like this kid was a budding star or like on the verge of, you know, becoming very nice. And lo and behold, all the naysayers are, you know, all Tyrese Haliburton fans now, you know? So I would say one great thing about Tyrese is that he is a pass first guy. Of course, you see the numbers of 25 plus points per game. You see how well he shoots from three. But if you look at it, I think he's leading the league. I still in assists, if not Trae Young is like right behind him or above him by a little bit. But he's a infectious guy. His teammates love him. He gets everybody involved, and it's not like forced. You feel me? Because I feel like we all can tell when stat padding and whatnot, or just you know, picking and choosing your spots and when to get people involved. I feel like Tyrese is a great blend of both of them. And at the same time, he's a big guard. He's about, you know, 6'4", 6'5", handle the ball very well, you know, shoots very well. It may be unorthodox, you know, like a lot of people talk about the Sean Marions and stuff like that. So, but it goes in, you know, and you can't ever hate on a person like that, especially when the ball is rolling. But the supporting cast has been nice. I feel like the trade for Obi Toppin last year definitely helps them out a lot with a lot of depth. They signed Bruce Brown in the offseason, another, you know, gadget player, literally Mr. Do-It-All type of guy. So, I mean, the Pacers, like you said, the East is wide open. Of course, we have your top dogs in Boston. I mean, Miami always, literally, I feel like they drag their whole season and just turn it on when April hits. You have, you know, the Bucks with the reloaded Damian Lillard. But I feel like them making it to the finals and just getting, you know, because Tyrese said it. And it's a big meme. He was like, we're tired of being losers, you know? And he knew himself it was going to be a big meme that circulated everywhere. But regardless, I feel like this just gives them added motivation. Like I said, it's not a playoff game. And like we know, it's not a playoff game. But it felt like one, especially being in an off-neutral site. So I just feel like this is only going to fuel them. I do see them making the playoffs, but maybe not as a top 4 or 5 seed. But still, just getting into the playoffs, getting that experience, that's, you know, that's priceless. So I do see them making it for sure.
Yeah, I think they are still maybe a player or two away from really becoming in that contention conversation in the East. But nonetheless, like you mentioned, Tyrese and, you know, Miles Turner and the cast really they're doing something amazing in Indiana. So it's good to see Indiana get back to being, you know, quality team that we know that they've been in their past. If we are to talk about LeBron James's legacy, what does this in-season tournament, the very first in-season tournament, do for his legacy? Is it, you know, people on social media are saying, you know, Jordan doesn't have an in-season tournament. Does this, like, where does this play in that conversation?
It's funny because we see, like you said, Jordan doesn't have one. We see all the memes, you know. I would say, if anything, I feel like this cannot hurt him. So the naysayers out there that are saying, oh, this kills his, you know, legacy. It's like, think about it. If he loses it, they hate him. You know, if he wins it, they hate him. So it's like, there's a lose-lose situation when it comes to that. Personally, though, I would say the one thing that I do agree on that he did say, LeBron himself, was he was like, there's always, records are always going to be broken. But being the first to do something lasts forever. And I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. And it's funny because today they're actually putting up the banner right now, or they did recently, today, earlier. That I don't agree on, but everything else I do. I just feel like with the banner situation, I feel like that was more of like an NBA call compared to a franchise call. Because, of course, you know, the Lakers don't hang anything up other than championship banners. You have other teams in the NBA, they hang up division banners or, you know, Western Conference Finals banner, Eastern Conference Final banners. But Lakers are just, you know, retired numbers and strictly championships. So I feel like, again, to push the, you know, keeping the in-season tournament around for a long time or improving it, they have to do this. You know what I mean? So, I feel like it's just another checklist on, you know, LeBron. You know, I just feel like he's been the most, you know, knock on wood, the healthiest player, the healthiest superstar I think we've ever seen. Other than I would say Cristiano. You know, Messi has had his fair share of like season ending injuries, but I feel like Cristiano is another, you know, strong man that's like, you know, just strong man award that's just played every game. So between those two guys, you know, it's another, you know, accolade to just hang up.
If we're going to talk MVP potentials, I know it's early on in the season. Who do you like if you were to choose some potential MVP candidates right now?
Personally, I'd have Jokic up there for sure. If I'm going to give like a quick top five, I'd probably say, to be honest, you got me on the spot. I feel like Minnesota has been like the top of the Western Conference. You feel me? So I feel like Minnesota definitely needs some love in there. I mean, I feel like Anthony Edwards is still a couple years away. Mm-hmm. But personally, if I had to prove, like I said, put a list together, I'd say Luka Doncic has to be in there. Jokic has to be in there. The stuff LeBron is doing, again, year 21, unbelievable. He has to be in there. And Giannis. I say Giannis. And then to round out the five, I have to say Joel Embiid.
Oof, I like that list, man. I like that list a lot. Definitely a pleasure having you on the segment with me, man. I definitely will have you on again. Yeah, appreciate you, brother.
Nah, appreciate you, man.
That was Saeed Sharif, a member of the sports media working with ESPN LA, speaking with me from Los Angeles, California.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
A one-day, three-on-three basketball tournament has ended in Lagos, Nigeria. 16 teams took part, and organizers of the tournament say similar events will be held in other parts of Nigeria to make the game popular among the youth. The sponsor of the tournament, Opayemi Babalola, also said his company manufactures basketball equipment like basketball hoops, ball racks, and player benches. Mike Mbonye files this report.
So basically we came up with this idea to collaborate with the Hoop Dreams Nigeria company, which are the major organizers of basketball at the 1004 basketball court. And we decided that, you know, December being a festive time, that we kind of always play a lot of basketball, we should also be able to see how we can, you know, create some awareness here at 1004. So basically this was just an idea that we conceived, and we actually been able to successfully execute today.
From what I've seen so far during the play, is a mixture of male and female players. What's so special about it?
Yeah, so we try to be inclusive in whatever we do. Basketball is a game that you know, is very popular amongst both male and female. And being a one-day tournament, we try to make sure we incorporate the ladies in the tournament as well. So, and they've been having fun, you know. It's been a competitive games so far, and hopefully would wish that they will be the best team emerge winner.
There are lots of talents I've seen so far during the game. Do you intend making this an annual event?
As a matter of fact, we intend to have this tournament across Nigeria. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll be going to Abuja. We've already spoken with some of the malls there, where we'll be having activations like this, collaborating with other brands to get games going. So it's not just a fulfillment of our dream as a manufacturer of basketball equipment in the continent, but also in promoting the game of basketball, you know, across the continent.
I understand your firm is also into the building of some basketball equipment. Can you tell us some of the equipment you build? It's a one-stop shop for all basketball equipment. Can you tell some of them?
Yeah, so we started with the basketball hoops. That's the basketball goals. And we've got 17 variants of that, from the residential hoops to the institution ones. And we've got the professional basketball backstops as well. We've got basketball ball racks. We manufactured the basketball player benches, bleachers, and a host of other basketball associated equipment, also like the shot clock stands and so many other equipment that we normally would have had to purchase from outside of the country.
You do them locally?
Locally, yes, locally.
I also understand that the Giants of Africa Foundation and some of the, you know, virtually all the facilities they have, that you contributed immensely. Can you also tell us about it?
Yes, so Giants of Africa in 2020 came up with an initiative to build 100 basketball courts across Africa, and we were one of the companies that was identified to provide the service of building the basketball courts and also providing the basketball backstops, that's the basketball hoops. And so far we've executed these projects in 30 different locations across Africa, in Kigali, Nigeria, Dakar, Senegal, Burkina Faso, Congo, Kinshasa, and a host of other locations like Kenya as well, Nairobi, Kenya. And, you know, it's still growing, it's still going on. And we are excited about the journey so far, and we're looking forward to building even more than 100 basketball courts for them in the next couple of years.
As we speak, do you have orders from other countries in Africa to also replicate what we have in Nigeria?
Yes, we have. We've worked with Lo Deng Foundation. Lo Deng happens to be a former basketball, a former NBA player who played this is the South Sudanese Basketball Federation president, current Basketball Federation president of South Sudan. He was a former NBA player for the Chicago Bulls, and they purchased basketball backstops from us in Lagos to Juba, and a couple of other foundations too. We're currently being in touch with Basketball Africa League, and we're hoping to send some orders their way for the 2024 campaign as well. So we keep growing. So far we've done 11 African countries, and we hope to do more. Some of those 11 countries, we've been there twice. Yeah, so it's a work in progress.
You're a former basketball player. How would you say the game is doing locally when we know we have some players abroad? What's your assessment of the game in Nigeria? This is a typical example of Nigerian youths in action, 3-on-3. But, you know, what's your assessment of the game?
It's fantastic. You know, the coverage that we're getting, I mean, the attention that we have enjoyed in the last couple of years shows to shows. I mean, has gone a long way in building capacity. That has also gone a long way in engaging, you know, all people from all various walks of life and broadening their knowledge about the game of basketball, and not just about playing the game, but also the business of sports in a game like basketball. So many other people have, you know, I mean, have been able to identify their niche in through the game of basketball as a business, and a lot of players, like you said, have gone abroad to you know, further their professional careers in the U.S. and other countries. But again, growing the game locally is our own concern. This is what gives us joy, and we continue to push this by the kind of products we provide and the services we provide locally to enable the promotion and growth of the game locally.
That was Opayama Babalola, former basketball player and sponsor of Nigeria's inaugural 3-on-3 basketball tournament. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
This week on Straight Talk Africa, Sudan erupted into chaos after fighting exploded in April between General Abdel Fattah Burhan and General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo in the capital Khartoum and across the country. Join me, Heidi Adams, and my guests as we revisit the war in Sudan on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
In more football news, Harry Kane has ended his 3-game goal drought by scoring twice, and Bayern Munich has stayed on the heels of Bundesliga leader Bayern Leverkusen with a 3-0 win over Stuttgart. Harry Kane becomes the fastest player to score 20 goals in the German Bundesliga. It only took him 14 games to break the record. His team, Bayern, had been under pressure going into the late game following Leverkusen's 3-0 win over Eintracht Frankfurt on Sunday. Frankfurt routed Bayern 5-1 in the weekend before Victor Boniface scored and set up 2 goals in Leverkusen's win. Also in the Bundesliga, Freiburg substitutes Michael Grischtich and Roland Sally scored in the second half to beat 10-man Cologne 2-0 this week. Also coming up on our show tomorrow, we have former Chelsea star and 2-time African Footballer of the Year Didier Drogba, who has launched a campaign that warned of a fake agent scam that targets young players in the sport. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten looks back on Drogba's campaign and his efforts to raise awareness about fake agents who take advantage of football players, particularly across Africa. That'll be on the segment for tomorrow. But that is a wrap for the Tuesday, December 19th edition of the show. Hope you all have a great day. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in Washington, in for Sonny Young, and that is the Sunny Side of Sports.